Yeah, one comment about which was raised last week in terms of Tosfos. Tosfos in Menachos points out that when it says Emesh Bomar is Dam, it doesn't mean just that it's red. It's clear it has to, and he doesn't say it this way, but obviously it doesn't take much blood to give a red tint to water. It doesn't take much anything to give, you know, that tinted that color tinted water. And the Tosfos says it has to be a substantial degree. Not to exactly what, but fine. So that's if it's Dam, the Sari B'Yayin. One second. Shalom and then Chayim. Tosfos asked this kasha in Menachos as well. It's a sugya that I don't know if there are any easy sugyas. It's a sugya that's going to come up kama batel. You're actually jumping over it in Avodah Zarah. The main sugya is on Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph going to Ayin Gimel Amid Beis. If you pour it, that sort of may connect also to Chazer Vnei Ora, where you pour in drop by drop by drop. Do you say kama batel? So that we'll eventually have to deal with. Assume for the moment the simple reading of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah is that even if you do say kama batel, if you pour it in one shot continuously, you know, ma'ares, so then you don't say kama batel, right? Kama batel means first drop falls in, it's batel. So now it's all tarovet of kol heta. Next drop falls in, next drop, and so on and so forth. So even if you say kama batel, that doesn't count if you pour in a large quantity in. That's what Tosfos says is going on here. Chaim?
Yeah, I was going to ask, whether it appears like blood or not, are you allowed to stir it so that it doesn't appear like blood? Or
why would you want to do that?
Okay, well, fine. So then the other way, can you like not stir it so like you have this like blob of blood floating around in the water?
Well, if it separates out, I don't know if blood really does separate out from water. Like oil, you're talking? I mean,
no, I'm saying like you drop like if you drop a bit of food dye into water, like at first it'll have like a, you'll be able to see it before like if
I understand.
Once you stir it.
Yeah. I understand, but are you really able to stop that process from happening? I don't know.
Just pour that.
Okay. Anyway.
Avigo.
That's so it doesn't congeal, so you won't be able to throw it. Congeal blood is kind of hard, you know.
Oh,
you're right. He's asking for a different issue. You're talking about that's a Matthias issue. Plasma. That's just mostly water, isn't it?
Yeah, and protein.
So I have to imagine that it's not going to congeal in water. This is going to be too much, right? Blood will only congeal because it's already kind of thick to start with. So, okay. So anyway, so Ami, go ahead. So if it's mixed up in Sar B'Yayin. Whether or not the blood would be visible, then. Okay. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Okay, that's enough. Rabbi Yehuda says, Dam is not Mevatel Dam. Okay, now interestingly enough, the Mishnah in Zachim, the Sugya in Zachim doesn't really talk much about this particular Machlokas. Now, interestingly enough, there is a Tosefta. I would not have known the Tosefta on my own, but the Rashba and Avodah Zarah quotes the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Gamliel. I mention that only, the Rashba says what he says about it. He quotes it, I think, b'shem Rabbi Gamliel. We have it b'shem Rabbi Gamliel one way or the other. We don't have much in the way of Kisveyad on Tosefta Zvachim. And one might, interestingly enough, argue that Rashba doesn't say this, but if it's Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Rabbi Shimon Gamliel ein dam mevatel dam, that could solve a particular problem which we had, which was what? Alex?
Min b'min ha'en avata.
What problem?
The
problem. He said, if endam of mevatel dam, he said, really, like if the dam chaya gets mixed in, then the if the dam chaya gets mixed in, then that should be assuming.
But how does the fact that he says that b'shem Rami Gamliel solve any problem?
Because he's only giving his own talk. He's giving what somebody else said this.
And therefore what?
And therefore it's not a steer on Rabbi. It's not a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda.
What kasha on Rabbi Yehuda?
Min b'mino eno bato, and edam mevatel dam are at odds with each other. Because really, he's saying that unless...
No, that's the same thing. That's the same thing. Saying dam is not mevatel dam is because min b'mino eno bato. That is the same thing.
I thought that if the dam chai gets poured into the dam korban...
No. That's min b'mino eno bato is ein dam mevatel dam. That's exactly the same thing. Ari? Well, okay, but see, that's the side, but you're still going to have to explain why doesn't Rabbi Gamliel say something, but... Really? No, he doesn't say... I know, okay, but you're still going to have the same problem for Rabbi Gamliel. That's what Ari said, but you're going to have the same problem. Donnie? What's that? What difference does it make whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Gamliel? But normally the Gemara will frequently say, I mean, the Rashba makes this claim, which is kind of funny, because normally you only say, Hadi Rabbe, right? When you have a stira between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, okay? Is there a stira between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda? Yes, the Mishnah and Shamas, Af Malas Hamaduma. Now, the Rashba doesn't actually put that piece together, but in other words, there are two problems with Rabbi Yehuda. Number one is, how come he doesn't say anything in Shumas? And number two, what do you do with the Mishnah in Shabbos where he says b'feirush that afmal and asamaduma? So the truth is, it doesn't solve the first problem. All you've done is, you know, is you shifted the problem somewhere else from Gamliel. But it does theoretically, and I'm not convinced this really should be so, but it could lead one to argue that maybe for Rabbi Yehuda there's no stira. And the Rashba utilizes this as an argument why, of course, we paskim nim amino is bato. Because even Rabbi Yehuda only said it b'shem Rava, which I don't really understand, but okay, so then... You know, but Rabbi Gamliel is a major figure also. So, all right, anyway, fine. So, without that, one way or the other, so now let's turn our attention to the... Yeah, Abigail? He said that on Shabbos you're allowed, if Truma fell in, the Chulan, and it was Mea, and the din is that Yaleh, then why? So he says it's more to do on Shabbos because it's not really being masakin it, because really it's batel, it's chulin, and so on. So what's the ala? For him, it shouldn't be batel. Right? It's not meduma. The only time we talk about meduma being male is when it's been memino. Okay. So anyway, whatever you want to do with that. So let's take a look at the Gemara and Menachos. The Gemara and Menachos really holds a lot of the keys here, or starts things off. Let me have another reader. Who would like to read? Shalom, okay. Who would like to be new? Yehuda, thank you, finally. Go ahead. No, you're not the only one, it's true. I know you read also. Go ahead. You can, for the moment, leave out the Mishnah. We're not going to deal with it. Sanan Hassam. Maritam Kosher. You don't have to translate. Just read through and then... Now read carefully and think carefully now. Because when you're finished reading, I'm going to ask you a question and many of you are going to get it wrong. Okay? Go ahead. Okay. Now, according to what Rabbi Yochanan said, what is Rabbi Yehuda's position? Now, if you haven't been in this year before, I don't expect you to necessarily realize what might be going on here, or potentially could be going on here. But what is Rabbi Yehuda's position? Why does Rabbi Yehuda say, "Ein dam vatel dam"? Avigo. No. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Ben, well, what are you going to say? What I'm asking the question is, where do Rabbi Yochanan's words end and potentially the Gemara's Perush begin? So the truth is, in all likelihood but not definitively, Rabbi Yochanan's words end, Ushnei mikra echar darshu v'lokach midam hapar or midam ha-sa'ir. It's not necessarily a broader klal. It's possible. There are reasons why I'm inclined to split this off. There are reasons why I'm not inclined to split it off. But the point is, it is well known to the Rishonim that there are layers in the Gemara. And very frequently an Amora will make a statement, and then the Gemara will elaborate or explain that statement. Let me give you an example which is very, very clear. Very clear. Type of statement where the Amora said X and it's the Gemara's explanation, not the Amora's explanation. Din, this is the following din. Rav Shari Ushmuel Asar. Rav Shari explanation and Shmuel, Asar, or whatever it is, explanation. Now, that is very clear, just the way the Gemara sets the format up, that is the Gemara's Perush. Why is it important? It is important because frequently you will find, it means, well, from a purely conceptual perspective, it means that it's the Gemara's Perush of Rabbi Yochanan or Rav or Shmuel, whoever it is, as opposed to what they said. What that allows for the possibility is for an alternative Perush. Now, there are two kinds of alternative Perushim. One is something that's found elsewhere in the Bavli in a conflicting sugya or in a Yushalmi, and that kulam must be modeh is kasher. The other possibility is an interpretation that's not suggested anywhere in rabbinic literature, but perhaps an alternate perush in the Gemara. That's something that the possibility that for some people is very disturbing. Okay? As a general rule, that alternate kind of perush tends to be very speculative, but for those of you who might be wondering, that's sort of at the root of what you might call the conflict between the Beis Medrash and academic Talmud for some. Sort of, that is probably the most controversial issue, the possibility that there's an alternate interpretation. It doesn't bother, it shouldn't bother, it cannot bother anybody when it's a Yushalmi, when it's another sugya in the Bavli. As a general rule, I'm open to entertaining other possibilities, but very rarely am I going to be convinced you can really hit something on the head, because on what basis do you say so? In other words, what is your evidence, what is your proof? But it's always possible. But if you have another sugya, or you have a Yushalmi, that makes it much more obvious. And often it's the simple explanation as to what is going on. And I should add, that there are probably hundreds of examples in Shas of Rishonim who use exactly this methodology to solve problems. Tosas and Shabbos has a particular predilection for this method, but you will find Tosos of all Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, on some major sugyos, that the way he explains theorists between sugyos is by simply putting a line between where the words of the Amora ended and where the words of the Gemara began. Now, on what basis, Yehuda, you look very puzzled. Can someone tell me why might it be disturbing? If you don't have a Bavli or a Yerushalmi to support oneself, why might it be disturbing, David?
You're basically looking outside the Gemara for explanation.
No, but you're only looking to Svara. Right? I mean, you see, you're not formulating it starkly, Jeremy.
Also, it could question the veracity of the Gemara's interpretation and say that perhaps it's not the best interpretation.
Okay.
It's just a bit hypocritic to say that you know better than the Amoraim.
No, but then you can't ask Kashas on Rishonim, and you can't that. But the point is, it raises the possibilities that you want to say that maybe the Gemara's Perush the Amora was wrong. Now, to say that a Rishon's Perush of the Gemara is wrong, well, aside from the fact that, I mean, this doesn't, obviously, you'll see, it doesn't really help. Other Rishonim say it, and some Achronim will argue on the Rishonim, and so on and so forth. Usually, in other words, Rishonim, are not canonical in the same way that the Bavli is canonical. It is a canonical work. We accept the Bavli as the basis, you know, at least in Halacha, the Bavli is canonical. Okay? It would seem even over the Yerushalmi, despite the claims that the Rambam sometimes used the Yerushalmi, I'm not really convinced that's actually so. He certainly used the Yerushalmi, whether in Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, without any similar position to the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, whether you ever find such a thing. I think it's pretty clear the Bavli is accepted. So the possibility, so if you have a Yerushalmi, so at least already Yerushalmi is traditional, even if you don't pass them that way, you have to explain. You can say, okay, so it's a Machlokas, what Rabbi Yochanan happens to have meant in this particular case, or whatever it is. If you have another sugya, the Bavli say it's a machlokas, and the Bavli had to understand this. But if you don't have another sugya, so then for some it's very disturbing. Now, the counter argument is that if you're talking about from a halachic perspective, well, of course it's irrelevant, because even if the Yerushalmi argues on the Bavli, we don't accept it. So if you argue on the Bavli also, it's not meant to be accepted. It's just a svara of another possibility, even though we're not going to follow it. But from a logical perspective, The basis for explaining a machlokas between two sugyos, whether Bavli or Bavli Yerushalmi, is that the Amora said X, and the rest of it is Peirush of the Gemara. So from a purely logical conceptual perspective, there's no reason why you can't offer an altered interpretation. I always qualify this with two things. Number one, very rarely are you going to be able to offer an alternate interpretation. More frequently, at best, you're left with a question when it seems to be a dohak interpretation. Number two, it has to be done with an enormous degree of respect. One of the problems that's engendered in this particular issue is because there are a lot of people who don't come from the world of the Beis Medrash, who come from a very different world, whose general tenor with respect to Chazal is not one of quote Chachamim. And so even in the very rare instances that one is going to go out on a limb, I think it's valid. I don't have a problem with it religiously, spiritually. It has to be done with a great deal of respect and with a great deal of hesitation, even from the perspective of humility, because you may be right that an interpretation is sometimes difficult, but you're removed from the situation 1,500 years or more, and the question is, what is informing your perspective for an alternate parish? Even if the parish is difficult, and maybe you think it's not most likely the best parish, but are you going to have a better one is the question. So again, I'm open to when someone wants to suggest it, but I think it's important, regardless, whether you're willing to suggest something not in the Bavli, or not in the Yerushalmi, you have to at least read the text very carefully to realize what's going on. Because even if you're not looking for new interpretation, very frequently the Rishonim or other sugyos are working with this premise. And therefore, when you read the text, you have to read it carefully. So that's why I say, I'm not 100% sure whether this isn't in fact Rabbi Yochanan, and we may talk about why, but you have to realize Rabbi Yochanan said that they're both based on the pasuk of Alakach Midama Par Midam HaSa'ir. Okay? Because that pasuk already raises the possibility of what? You mix two bloods together, and yet you're throwing them on the Mizbeach. And since everybody knows that Dam HaPar Meruva Midam HaSoyer, so therefore, why isn't the Dam HaSoyer Bater and the Dam HaPar? And it's clear, what is clear is that something is going on with this pasuk. And the question is, in effect, Rabbi Yehuda, if I didn't have the words of the Gemara, I would say Rabbi Yehuda sees this pasuk as a model, And the Chacham also see this pasuk as a model, but they read it differently. Now, I don't have... Now, why is it that I want to say... Why is it that I raise this particular question? Why am I questioning whether or not this is really Rabbi Yehuda Shita? So you understand why, where we're coming from it already. I think that maybe... Is this have to be Rabbi Yehuda Shita? Because after all, we learned all this Mishnayis, and to say Rabbi Yehuda holds his Klal Gadol that Mimimino and Abatel can't be. Now, I have other considerations as well. We haven't gotten there reading yet, but some of you looked at the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, right? Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Did something bother you in that Gemara? It bothered Shalom. I know it bothered Shalom. It also bothered the Ramban. The question is, did anybody else bother by something? The Gemara there presents a Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. How do you paskin on Mimbemino generally? Rav and Shmuel say Mimbemino is not Batel. Reish Lakish and Yochanan say Min b'mino is batel except for tevel and yayin nesach and tevel. The Gemara says Tanya kavaseh de Rabbi Shmuel, Tanya kavaseh de Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, and they quote two brises. Is there something wrong here, Jonathan? What's that? They should have said kitanai. Quote the Mishnah and Tzvachim. End of discussion. Now, there may be a good answer to the question as to explain why, which would do away with this premise, or with the whole issue, the premise of the question. Okay, it might be. But note that the Gemara does not say a word about Rabbi Yehuda. Note that in dealing, although I don't think it would have solved the problem anyway, in dealing with the Mishnah Avodah Zarah, the second Mishnah Avodah Zarah, Rabbi Yehuda is not invoked at all, which is an obvious point of discussing Min Bimina. So, while it's an argument from silence, it's a very strong, at least initially, a very strong argument from silence, that the Sugyas and Avodah Zarah are not working with this conception of Rabbi Yehuda Min Bimina. It's clear that there are Sugyas in the Bavli outside of Menachos that work with Rabbi Yehuda's Min Bimina. I would go a step further. It's clear that by the fourth generation Amoraim, no later than that, Rava already holds in Chulin that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is Min Bimina. That's very clear. But it's not necessarily the case that all the Sugyas in the Bavli work with this premise. In other words, there may be another way of understanding Rabbi Yehuda. The Ramban is kind enough to provide it for us. I mean, it's kind of obvious. You could have sort of felt your way to it. But just note that when Rabbi Yochanan says this, it's not entirely clear where Rabbi Yochanan's words ended and where the Gemara's Perush began. And the way to explain potentially a sphere between the Sugyas, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, versus the Gemara here, and again, it's a very implicit, it's not a clear clash, but under the still waters, there are a lot of ripples, could be that the Sugyan Avodah Zarah doesn't accept this interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. Emmanuel, a question?
Yeah, just then, what's the other way of understanding?
How would you understand Shitas Rabbi Yehuda?
Yeah.
It's a Chumrah by Kachim. It's a Chumrah by Kachim that Min Bimina, it's a special din in Kachim. The Ramban himself suggests that that based upon that mission alone, one could just say that it's a din in Kachim in Taros or something like that. Which, by the way, is very much like the Gemara's Chachamim here in Olam Evatlan Zezde. Right, but Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says that Kachim on Ever Betalim. The Chachamim say that no, Kachim are Betalim, but Kachim on Ever Vatal Kachim. Right, because the case of the Mishnah is Kachim and Chulin. Dam Kachim and Dam Chulin. In other words, there are other possibilities. Even Rabbi Yehuda's statement ain't, again, here I'm going to be unfair. I'll bring another diuk from Yehuda's statement. He said, ain't Dam Vatal Dam. Why does he say that? Min Bimina is not Batal. Now, the answer to that question, although maybe it's not such a good answer, is that the Tanaim generally don't speak conceptually. The language of Tanaim is generally very much case law oriented. You know, the Zeh Klals are probably, my guess would be, I haven't checked, but every Zeh Klal in the Mishnah is probably anonymous. You know, it belongs to Rebbe's base medrash or something like that. But you don't typically find, and I'm sure there are exceptions to this, but you expect more of the case law formulation. Ein dam mevatel dam. Okay, maybe that's not a good answer. Maybe the question's a better question. But the formulation, ein dam mevatel dam, doesn't sound like this broad klal that min bimina is never batel. So there are other possibilities. But anyway, what is clear, so now we'll read the rest of the sugya. It's clear that this sugya takes what might be just Rabbi Yochanan's statement that the whole debate revolves around the pasuk of lakach midam apar umidam ha-sa'ir, and then takes that and sees it as a general klal. Ezra?
Do you say the Gemara doesn't hold of this, or maybe just predated it? Which one's worse?
I would almost say yes and yes, in a sense. In other words, yeah. Here's what I would say. I'm doubtful that the sugya per se predates it, but it's possible. But even if it predates it, what you're saying is that in an earlier generation, they didn't interpret that way. Now, would they have turned around and said, oh, that's such a great interpretation of the Mishnah? It's possible, but I don't usually work. I'm not going to say they're arguing on it, but they don't know of it. Minimally, they don't know of it. And because there is reasonable reason to interpret differently, it's not clear they would have agreed with it. Ari?
You keep an eye here. Doing a ketanah is usually a stomach job. It usually is.
But so is probably Tanya Kavasei also. Tanya Kavasei is probably the same thing.
Right, so I'm saying.
You think it's more likely it's arguing.
Exactly. The fact that you don't have a ketanah here doesn't mean that it's early. It means that some decides not to perform it.
Okay. In other words, but it did decide to perform a Tanya Kavasei. Right? And it had a choice in theory.
No, I understand.
I agree. He's asking a different question. is that they don't cite it because that interpretation had never developed yet, or because they disagree with the interpretation, even though they're aware of it. And I have no way of answering that question. Okay. So anyway, so now let's move on. Go ahead, Yehuda. That was really unfair to do that, because obviously it took me a long time to learn to read Gemara this way. I think it's an enhancement of how you read Gemara, even if you never come up with your own interpretations, even once. Even if it's just seeing other sources in the Babli and Yerushalmi, but it takes a long time to train oneself to read this way instinctively. At a certain point, if you start to learn enough with a certain mahalach, and it's true for any Derech HaLimud, you can start to almost guess which interpretations are going to be from the Amoraim, or which are going to be from the Sugya itself. When the Rishonim refer to this layer, by the way, when the Balei HaTosfos refer to it, they talk about either the Shas or the Gemara. That's what they will often refer to it as. If you want to see a wonderful example of this on a major Beit Choshen Mishpat topic on the question of Shibud D'Oraisa, Shibud D'Lav D'Oraisa, look at the top Tosfos on the last Amud in Bava Basra. There's a theory between Bava Basra, what Rav Papa says in Bava Basra, and what Rav Papa says in Kiddushin, and Rabbeinu Tam takes out his scalpel and he just cuts the statement in. And while the other Rishonim gave four or five different approaches to how to resolve the two sugyas, Rabbeinu Tam just takes the staple, cuts an F, and says, "Smach lokas asugyas." Rav Papa said X. The Gemara here explains this way. The Gemara here explains that way. Emmanuel? I'm not getting into this discussion. I don't know. I can distinguish between the layer of the Amorayim and then the editors of a sugya. I'm not into this business of the Stamoyim versus that. Of the sugya, and I don't know that the editors of one sugya are not necessarily the editors of another sugya, and I can't necessarily date them. I don't assume that all editorial material in a sugya is late. I assume that there is editorial material in a sugya at least by fourth generation. Most of the anonymous material in Shas is probably later, but I assume that you cannot assume that the sugya, the anonymous material in the sugya is automatically, very late.
We had cases where the Amorim argued on what seems to be Islamic material.
So I think generally, at the end of the day, that's gonna be what demonstrates it. But if you want to look, there was a professor of Talmud in Revel, Professor Weiss, Avram Weiss, who was Feldblum's Rebbe. It was really, 40s, 50s, 60s. He has a book called Yetzirah HaSifrutit Shel Amoraim, I forget his exact title, and in that he goes through a number of sugyas where you're tempted to make that argument and tries to show that it doesn't always hold. In other words, it's not clear they're responding to the anonymous words. I think it's clear there's early material as well. Early means Rav and Abaye's generation. I think that's when this material is starting to be put into a frame. Anyway, Alex?
This might be somewhat of an unfair question, but then, why is it that the editors would allow one answer of Rav Papa to be in one place and one answer of Rav Papa to be in another place?
Well, you're assuming that it's one set of editors for all the Shas, but it's well known, just for starters, that five of the Masechtas, and the Rishonim observe that the language is different. The Darim, Rishonim already point out, Lashon and Darim Mishunah, and there are several of the late Masechtas in Kutshim, and maybe, I don't know if there's included, there are five Masechtas. What's that? No, not Yavamos. I think Krasus and Me'ilah, and I forget, and I think Nazir, and there are five that have a very different signum, and the assumption is they were edited in a different place in Bavel.
Very different but, what?
Huh?
Signum,
different style of language. So the Rishonim point this out, for example, on Nadar, and probably Nazir also, they say, it says Tibai instead of Teku. So it's generally assumed that they were edited in a different, I will call it a different yeshiva in Bavel, but even Sugis themselves may date from different times and different editors, and there was not necessarily an attempt to run them over with a single steamroller. In a certain sense, the general methodological difference between the Rishonim of Ashkenaz and the early Rishonim of Svarad boils down to this: how do you deal with conflicting sugyos? And the approach of the Rif and the Rambam frequently is Tzimach Lokas HaSugyos, the Chiddush, the innovation of the Balei HaTosfos, which is already picked up upon, even if not in the same extreme, by later Chachmei Sfarad, like the Ramban and then everybody who follows him, is the idea of trying to make all the sugyas work together. But even Tosus will sometimes say it's a sugya mukhlefes, that you have a steer between two sugyas and there's no way to put the pieces together. So there wasn't an attempt. It's clear, there wasn't an attempt to level everything from a textual perspective. You get There are many sugyas in the Bavli, and the Rishonim point this out, where there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about X and about a particular fact, and then there are two different sugyas give two different explanations as to what they're arguing about, right? And there's no attempt to sort of run it over with the steamroller. Here it's a multiplicity of views that exists. Okay. So anyway, so now how does Rabbi Yochanan or the Bavli explain this? So you said the Rabbanon Savre. So now you're going into the Gemara's Rabbi Huda Savre Mikalam Mishin Shena Bato. Okay, what are Olin, by the way? This is interesting also. Things that you're supposed to bring on the Mizbeach. It's interesting that Dam is included in this. I think one of the Rishonim asked this question, because Dam is not what we usually think of an Oled. There's a term, Olin usually means something that goes up on the Mizbeach. What's that?
Navsha.
Okay, in other words, we talk about, im ola lo teireis. When we talk about, if you learn Tzvachim, you learn the Mishnayos and Tzvachim, certain kind of psulim, anything that was psulo bakodesh, that the psul happened once they brought the animal into the Azara, anything that's psulo bakodesh, if you bring it up on the Mizbeach, it's possible, you're not supposed to burn it. Once you brought it up, im ola lo teire. That's the term usually, I don't think that's connected.
No, but I know it's interesting.
I see, yeah, okay. So I think that that's usually, Olin is usually limited to things that actually burn in the Mizbeach. No, okay. So here it's somehow it's extended to Dam. One of the Rishonim talks about this. All right. So that's the Machlokes. So now the Gemara just says. Vidilma. How do you know based upon the Pasuk? So the Gemara. Right, and as you can tell, as the Gemara makes clear, it's not a very good answer. Notice the Gemara says that that if you wanted to teach us Mimimino, you should have taught us a non-Kutchim case. That if you teach it by Kutchim, it's because it's Olin Ein Mevatlin Zezeh. Fine.
Who is that?
The Gemara speaking now. They're according to the Rabbanon. So now the Gemara says, Vidoma. Fine, okay, so maybe you need both in order not to have Bittul. Gotcha. Okay. The Gemara is not going to answer this. Be aware, I have had trouble finding it, but I think the Rush somewhere in Brachos quotes the Gaonim, but it's probably not, it may not be in Brachos. I thought it was. I had trouble finding it. The difference between Kashi and Tifta, what is the difference between a Kashi and Tifta? What's that? That isn't my sense, but there is a tradition that Kashi is that there's an answer there somewhere, whereas Tifta means it's completely rejected. That's the assumption. The Gemara will never say, I mean, it only happens a few times. There are a few sugyas and shas where the Gemara says, Tufta de Raploni Tufta, and then the Gemara says, Hilchas for Raploni, and then the Gemara will ask, Tufta de Hilchasa? I don't think you ever get Kasha of Hilchasa. Okay. Anyway, but that's the claim of the Gonim, that Kasha means that there might be a Teretz, but the Gemara just doesn't go into it here. Tufta means it's rejected.
Why
the Gemara asks, Tufta de Hilchasa.
Why would you accept something if we just disprove it?
So the Gemara asked the question, and we'll go on to explain why it really does, and why it really wasn't a Tiyufta.
I can just imagine Tiyufta Minokhasa, Kasha.
Okay, very nice. All right, anyway, fine. So continue. An exact same thing on Rabbi Yehuda. Must be, that's the determining factor. And obviously, Vidoma Adiika. Okay, fine. So that's in this Sugya Menachos. But this is an essential, absolutely essential Sugya Menachos, because this is where the position of Rabbi Yehuda, that Min Demino categorically is not Batel, is presented. And it's going to be assumed in a few of the Sugyas in Chulin as well. Okay, it also gets very brief mention on that Mishnah in Tzvachim. It sort of comes up as a side topic. They don't really discuss this as an Nekudas HaMachlokas. They just assume that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. But this is the Makar. This is the Makar for Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, that Min Bimino Eino Bata. Okay, Doraisa, the Rabbanan, what would you say? Jonathan? Mistama, it's Doraisa. because it's learned from, you know, if in fact his makar is v'lokach midama per midama sair, so then it's got to be for real. Ezra?
Logically, in the case of the dam itself, so one drop falls in and you use the whole thing.
One drop
of the dam of the korban falls into all
the tulin.
You can sprinkle all the dam.
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not the halakha.
No, we'll be paskin like the chachamim. Well.
So we take the principle, but not the.
No. No, if we pass like chacham, it's because we reject the principle mimbamino is not goto. We would say that if one drop fell in, it wouldn't have maris. Roan hadam ki ilu mayim, and if that one drop of dam would not give it a maris dam, so then we would say that it's bato, and you can't use it. Rabbi Yehuda holds generally according to the sugya mimbamino is not bato. Okay. Fine. Now, how do we paskin? So we're going to see. We're going to see a discussion of this in our Tosas in Chulin and the abridged Tosas in Pesachim. Just a comment worth noting here, only because the Rashba, as I mentioned before, the Rashba does not have his Arichus in Chulin. The Rashba in Chulin tells you, go look in Avodah Zarah. And he points out that Rabbi Yehuda in the Tosefta says this Shita, B'shem, he says Rabbi Shum Gamliel, and the Tosefta in the back of the Vilna Shas is Rabbi Gamliel. So the Rashba likes to believe it. It's not even Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Okay, I'm not sure that really helps us. Clearly, who thought that it was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? What's that? No, more than that. The editors of the Mishnah. Because they left out the attribution, so they assumed that Rabbi Yehuda agreed with it. Right? In other words, whenever the Gemara creates a machlokes between... I may be overstating the case here. But typically, most cases where you get a statement that the Gemara is resolving a stira among Amoraim or Tanoim, Hadidei, Hadirabei, it's usually because when you actually look at one of them, it's quoted, B'shem. It's not that the Gemara has a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, both anonymous, and it says, Hadidei, Hadirabei. And that's a great way of resolving all problems, right? You imagine that this statement was only named as Rabbi. It's not the way it works. It's usually, it's not always, that one of the statements was, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar X, and another one's Amar Rabbi Huda, and then they say Hadidei Hadirabe when they're faced with the Stira. Okay. Anyway, so in that context, note also, you're not going to necessarily realize this. The Rashba himself claims, and I don't know that we actually know this is true, he claims that Rashi himself, Lamaskana, did not accept what is found in Kalabasar. And the truth is, there's a Stira in Rashi, and there are Stiras in Rashi, how you paskin. The Rashba asserts without any proof, and really is no way to prove it, that Rashi himself was Chozer Bo. There is another Rishon who was Chozer Bo, but you wouldn't know it reading the Gemara. And that's the Rif. The Rif in Avodah Zarah paskins like Rav and Shmuel, like Rabbi Yehuda, Mimimino, and Obato. And yet, apparently, he told his Talmidim that they should amend the text, because he changed his mind. I don't think it appears in our texts, however. Okay. Anyway, we'll get to that.
We know that the Rif was Chozer
Bo. I don't know where we have it preserved as a source. You can check the footnotes in the Rashba. I don't think there was anything there. He just says that he told us Talmidim. Sometimes you'll find it in a nusach of the Rif. You actually see both. But I didn't. When I looked briefly this morning over the Zohar, I didn't see it. It could be that there's a tshuva of the Rif. So that's always possible. But it's probably something you're going to see large numbers of Rishonim quote. I wouldn't even be surprised. I didn't see if there's like a Balamor or Milchamos where they're all quotes of fact. This Davar Yodua that the Rif was Chozer Bo and he told his Talmidim and Magia and the Sefer.
Do you think like
you
were like
the Rif?
Yeah.
And then he himself is Machria.
Right,
okay, so the one that tells you that he knew it was a Machlokas Agonim. So what made him change his mind, I don't know. I don't remember the Rashba. I don't think the Rashba, and I know he's not the only one who quotes that. Someone else quotes this riff, I don't remember who. We're not told why the riff changed his mind. Okay. So now let's look at the Mishnah Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says, we'll read this, should be read quickly. Let's get another volunteer. Alex, do you want to volunteer? Go ahead. What kind of mayim is this? It's got to be mayim. It's got to be. That's Rabbeinu Tam's. Rabbeinu Tam's. I mentioned this once. Rabbeinu Tam claims that yayin nesach. That's oseh b'mashu is only yayin nesach mamish. Stam yainim is not oseh b'chol shehun. His raya is because mayim be mayim and mayim must be mayim nesach because there's no gzera. There's no gzera on stam meimam. Okay, fine. Continue. So the rule by avodah zarah is mimina b'mashru v'shelo b'mino b'no sein tam. Now the gemara says on zeh klal mimina b'mashru v'shelo b'mino b'no sein tam. The minon. Okay. So they say the Mishnah said it by avodah zarah. They say kol isurin shebetorah. So zeh klal. So I'm sure most of you are aware, but if you're not, I'll say it. Whenever the Mishnah says zeh klal, giving a rule after the details have already been laid out in the Mishnah, the Gemara will always be medayik, the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi, the Bavli will always be medayik, zeh klal lasuyemai, because it didn't have to repeat the rule. We're smart enough to figure out our own. Therefore, it must be adding another case, a sort of a liminal case or a marginal case that you wouldn't be sure must be included. There's one place in Shas that I'm aware of. There's one place in Shas where the Gemara doesn't have anything to add. It's a Mishnah in Megillah about the days on which you read four aliyos. And the Mishnah gives you a klal, right? When it has a karbon musaf, but no iser malach, I think, so then you read four. And the Mishnah already had mentioned Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh. Right, those are the only days we read four, is that correct? So the Gemara has nothing to learn from the Zeh HaKlal. The Gemara says it. I think they asked the question and they got nothing to learn from it. But as a general rule, the Bavli always tries to be medayik something addition from the Zeh HaKlal. So here's Zeh HaKlal, the Rav and Shmuel is, the Mishnah said if I have Avodah Zarah, Zeh HaKlal, everything. Yes,
Yemi? We'll never get to see in the Gemara in a second just about the issue of Tevel, but just in terms of that, your comment just now about Zeh HaKlal, would you say that applies even if there's only one other thing that's including?
Yeah, typically.
Why would the Mishnah just not say Yayin Netzach and that other thing? Like, I would imagine that Klal would come to include more than one other thing.
Oh, you're asking on Meshach Shab Yochanan?
Eventually, but I'm asking.
No, I would just say the following. In other words, the Zeh HaKlal here is not the Amal Rhyme speaking. It's probably the Stam of the Gemara speaking. On a pshat level, Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan would just say it's giving the klal of Avodah Zarah. That's all. I would even say it's really teaching all other Yisurei Avodah Zarah. But you wouldn't even say it that way. The pshat and the klal, and clearly what the Yushalmi must hold, because it never asks the question, never gives that answer, is that Zeh HaKlal is just, in case you weren't focused or thinking, it sort of, you know, lays it out for you. We get a bunch of details, and even though perhaps the rule is obvious, so we're gonna give you a nice klal, you know, a nice handle to hold it by. So you're right. In other words, if it were just one case on a pshat level, then you would just spell it out. But I don't think the Amoraim are probably not preoccupied with this question. It's more the sugya wants to have something work within that. Moshe? So I have there is no reason whatsoever, no basis whatsoever to assume that they're not Tanaitic. In terms of the question of whether they represent a second layer, intuitively yes, but there's no evidence to that. Neusner may have been wrong with respect to the general principle that there are no layers in the Mishnah, completely wrong. But at the same time, I think he is correct that, and it's ironic because I always say, forgive the aside, but the hypocrisy of the academic establishment is that in this country, Neusner's general approach, not in Israel, but here is Soma Kubal, no layers in the Mishnah, you can't do anything with it. And the same people who can't see the obvious layers in the Mishnah, you know, and attributions, all of a sudden can imagine all these different layers in the Torah. It's an amazing thing. It is absolutely amazing. It just happens to be that most Bible scholars don't do Talmud, and most Talmud scholars don't do, at least know more about Bible. So if you read Neusner in his book, his Klal work on the Mishnah, he almost takes very firm position on the authorship of the Torah because he doesn't believe you can see layers. So I also don't believe you can see layers in the Torah. I believe you can only see layers when the layers are clearly there. And in the Mishnah, I'm not sure Zeh HaKlal is clearly another layer. Is it an intuitive, you know, it would work nicely with this notion that the Mishnah moves from, just as the Amoraim end up moving from case law to conceptual, but I don't think there's any evidence to it. So it's a nice thought, but I'd be reluctant to say that. Yes. I don't want, that's enough on that methodological. Okay, fine. Okay, so now, continue in the Bavli, whoever, Alex. That's the Tevel. Fine. Usually for the Bavli Binyamin, Zaklal, one case is enough. I understand that it sort of can't, you know, give a Klal. I understand. Okay. Fine. All right. Tanya Kavase. Okay, so now the Gemara has one last, you know, point to discuss, which is Bishlama. So the answer is Kehetero Kachi Suro, Damar Shmuel. Is that correct? Fine. Now, just a comment about this. There is a mitzvah when you have a pile of grain, let's say, to separate truma. There are two purposes to this mitzvah. One is to remove the status of tevel from the kri, or at least tevel the truma. There's still more things to separate. The second is the mitzvah matnas kuna of nesina lekohen. For the purposes of removing the shame tevel, that's what Shmuel did. Neschita achas poteres esakri. Even one little kernel wheat is very small. You know, I think maybe a little bigger than a barley grain, but not much bigger. Okay? One little kernel of wheat removes shame tevel from a mounds and mounds and mounds of tevel. Okay. But, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah of Nesina Lekohen Midoraisa, it's usually assumed you have to have something of substance. We assume perhaps at least a kezayis, and then of course midrabanan, there is three shiurim, an ayin ra, an ayin tova, and a beinunis, a 40th, a 50th, a 60th, a 40th, a 50th. Okay, a 50th is usually the standard shiur we work with. So Shmuel says as follows: in order to remove the iser tevel, you need one chita, and therefore tevel is oseres b'mashu. Now, if you actually work this through, and the Rishonim discuss this. This is a din derabanan. It's a din derabanan. So therefore, it's easy to say that the drasha is not exactly worked perfectly. Because the truth is, what is it that falls back in to aser the pile? Not tevel. Truma. Right? You should have said truma is oser b'mashehu. Because you take a piece out, it's not in the pile. What is that piece now? The chita achas, it becomes truma. It should be if the truma falls in, it's oser b'mashehu. So we've shown him talk about it a little bit. Okay.
Why can't you say that it's dealing with the case where tevel falls into...
No. But my point is just keter kach isuro. What you remove to be matirit is not tevel. I mean, you're removing something that's tevel now, but essentially you're removing the truma. So why is it saying that when tevel falls in? Okay. Anyway.
But wait, are we dealing in the case where tevel falls in, or are we dealing in the case where truma falls in?
Tevel.
Right. So then.
So it's not okay.
Because if truma fell in, we would be dealing with a different halacha.
I know, but the whole lot, the svara of keter kach isuro would make more sense by truma than it does by tevel. I mean, okay, anyway, that's one explanation that the Bavli gives. There is another, Tosis asked a question, it's actually Sugi and Adarim, Tosis quotes a Yushalmi, I assume it's in the Yushalmi too, I didn't check, but then the Saras Hashas tells you it's in the Bavli and the Adarim. There's another reason why perhaps Tevel should not be Batel.
Davashesh
Lamatirin. How can you be Matir this?
Ooh,
guys. That hurts.
No.
Once you've taken out truma from a pile, there's no way you cannot be mafresh truma again. Impossible.
Okay, the case that we thought of.
No, just no. Absolutely not. The way you fix tevel when it fell into a pile is the following: you take another pile of tevel that has to have truma separated from. You say, "I'm being mafresh the truma now on this tevel and that tevel as well, wherever it is." B'chol makom shehu. And that's why the Baalei Tosfos say that the only way you wouldn't be able to do it is if you had no more grain. Then it would be a davar shein lamatir. That's why. You can't just stick your hand and take it out for it. Does not work.
That's the whole trick with taking out one wheat. Because if you take out one kernel of wheat, then you're in trouble.
Correct. Once you take out a chita achas, you can't do anything more. That's the problem. Truma, once taken, cannot be taken again. Because no matter how much you take out, unless you're toen the amount, you meant to take out X and it turned out you took out the wrong amount, then maybe it was toast. But other than that, once you separate, you can't separate again. If that chita asers, reaching back in does not fix the pile. The pile doesn't need to be fixed. It doesn't need to be converted from tevel. It's not tevel anymore. It's a tarovis of tevel. You can't see mafish truma from that pile anymore.
We thought it was a different case.
Okay, fine. So let's leave that case. This is our case. Tevel falls, a piece of tevel falls into a pile of chulin misukanim. How do you fix the tevel? You find more tevel, and from that more tevel, because you know that, if you knew where that chita was, in that, or whatever, well, your tevel was in the pile, you would just take it out. You don't know where it is, but you can fix it by being mafish from other tevel to cover both. Okay, because midoraisa, you can be toreim shalom and hamukaf. No, midrabanan, we require that truma gedola be taken from things that are at least next to each other. Midoraisa, you can have one pile of truma, one pile of tevel in Kalamazoo, and one pile of tevel in Tel Aviv, and you can be mafresh from your pile in New York City to cover all three of them. You can do that midoraisa. Torim shalom and amuka.
Can I just ask why the case that we thought would be wrong is that you've got a pile of tevel and a little bit that falls into a kulin, but you weren't mafresh it as truma?
You weren't mafresh what is truma?
I wasn't mafresh anything from the pile of tevel.
Okay.
Truma. So that falls into chulin, then you take one chita from the tevel, and that is mafresh the pile of chulin.
That's exactly...
That's not mafresh, that's mati the pile of chulin.
That's exactly what I said. That is the case that I gave. But it's not that you reach back into the chulin and take out where something fell in. You can't reach into that pile and take out...
I meant reach into the pile of tevel.
Okay. So then we're in agreement. Okay, Emmanuel.
What did you say with the Rabbanon?
Torim Shalom and Amukaf. That's an issue.
No. Before that. You said that...
That Tevel's not bought to the Tela. It's in the Rabbanon. All these dinim.
Why
do we say that? How can I prove that within the sugya of the Gemara?
It says that it's through Minat Torah, doesn't it? They keep on talking about it in the sugya.
What are you saying? No. Kol isurin shibatora. They're not osur minat Torah. It means if you tevel on its own is an issur d'oraisa. But that doesn't mean that tarobis of tevel is an issur d'oraisa. It's assumed, and again, we only proved it by truma. By truma, we reasonably demonstrated from the Mishnah that rovis is shir d'oraisa. That may is only a darabana requirement. So the notion, the only place in the world I could really, and Davashir Shemantirin is also, I don't know if I can prove it to you from the Mishnah. We have to see for various sugyas that you can prove from the Gemara. The Rishonim certainly assume, minus certain very minority shitas, for the most part, every time that we say that Mimbamino is not Batel Barov, is the Rabbanon. And every time we say that anything would not be, I don't know if there are any cases where we say that even though there's no Nesin Eftam and Mim Sheimino, if you were to come up with a case where it wouldn't be Batel, that would also be, let's say, Davar Maimit. It's only assumed to be the Rabbanon. There's a funny tour on Davar Maimit somewhere. I think somewhere in Hilchos Pesach, the question is raised whether or not maybe he holds it's the Raisa, but the Magen Avraham points out that we absolutely assume it's the Rabbanon. I don't know if we haven't proven every piece of that, but that's the assumption that we've shown them in the post can always work with. And at least the Gabi Truma, that was, I think, pretty clear from the Mishnah.
So it's just the Gemara is just asking by what's the reason for making the Rabbanon?
Well, they don't even ask by Avodah Zarah. The assumption is it's Chomer Avodah Zarah. They ask by Tevel. I would say if there was one thing in the world, and what I'm about to say is mostly wrong, I said this before that I thought this should be and it's wrong, but if there were one Isser that really should be Midaraisa, it should be Avodah Zarah, and the reason that should be is because it says, V'layibach b'yadcham u'ma menacherim. And this goes back to my point in general, let's say you have Isser Hana that gets mixed in its batel, why do you not have to remove part of it so you don't get Hana? But I'm wrong, because that's the Mishnah doesn't hold that way. Orlan Kalaya Kerem, at least Arlan Kalei Karim, you don't have to remove. Avodah Zarah is going to be different. I don't know.
Well, maybe then it means it's D'oraisa again. Well, you could say, based on the way that you want to learn Avodah Zarah, that it's saying it's D'oraisa, because it's Avodah Zarah is different and it's common.
But I'm telling you, I think that the Rishonim and the Poskim do not assume that by Avodah Zarah. So, you know, could we, is it Beferish provable from the Gemara? I'm not sure. Okay. Fine. We're going to read one more Mishnah before we stop. Yeah, I'm sorry.
With regard to Rabbi Yochanan, his mind is missing, and until close to it,
No, because that is what no, that's the Ayin Nesach. That when they say the Rishonim, Tosfos may points it out. But they also assume all Easter of Avodah Zarah. Yeah, and that's because it's clear they're not going to argue on the Mishnah. So Mayim Nesach also at least Tikroves Avodah Zarah. At least Tikroves Avodah Zarah. By the way, the Makor, by the way, that Tikroves, I didn't know this. Nobody asked it, but I just sort of glossed over it. The Makor, according to the Gemara, that Tikroves Avodah Zarah is Asur Bana, that Yain Nesach is Asur Bana, is that Asher Chelev Zvachemo Yochelu Yishtu Yein Nisicham. So it's a Makish Yain Nesach to Zvachemo, to the Zevach Shelahem. How do you know that the Zevach, the regular Tekrovas of Odezar, is Asur Bana? So they say, because in Nefilim it's called Vayochlu Zivche Mesim. And just as a mace is Asur Bana, so too the Tekrovas of Odezar is Asur Bana. And how do you know that a mace is Asur Bana? So then they quote Agzereshav of Sham Sham. Okay, that Egla Arufa is Asur Bana. And I think they also asked the question, how do you know Egla Rufa is Asur Bana? So there's more than one marker for that. I forget, the one I know, but that's not the one they quote, is Sham Te Misasa, Sham Te Purasa. That's Asur Bana, but okay. Let's read the Mishnah. Just if any of you didn't read the Mishnah, you can be tortured by this till tomorrow's shir, because this Mishnah is very difficult, and the Gemara had a lot of difficulty with it, and the Yushalmi had a lot of difficulty with it, and the Rishonim have a lot of difficulty with it. And what does the Mishnah say in Avodah Zarah? Alex, go ahead. Elu Asurin. Luvuvin. So far, so good, right? Yain Esech, we saw. Avodas Chacham would be, let's say, the Getchkis themselves. The Oros Luvuvin are these hides. Okay? Then Vashar Niskol. So the din is that Ashar HaNiskol, that is, as a Gemara din, to be killed, even if you shecht it, it's Asur Bana. And certainly if you stone it, or if it dies of natural causes, it doesn't matter. The famous Machlokas of Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, and the other Balatosos, whether or not it's Asur Mechayim, it's only Asur after it's dead. But either way, if it's dead, it's Asur, no matter how it got dead. Okay, then the Egla. Okay, Egla Rufa, Rashi says Mechayim here. Okay, already you read Dasa Lenachal Esan Osrata. Next. Okay, Tzipori Mitzora, as I've mentioned, only refers to the Shchuta, not the Chaya. The Bavli and Kiddushin has three makaras for that. The Yushalmi has its own makar here. Okay, Seir Nazir is the hair of the Nazir's hair. Okay, so Rashi here says, and there's a good reason for this, I think. Rashi says that it's talking about a Petach Hamor when it's alive still, which I don't know the sugya in Bechoros, but I thought that a Petach Hamor only becomes Asur Bahana once you do, Arifa B'Kofitz. Unless the din is that it's Asur Bana until you do Pidyon. I didn't think it was that way, but apparently I must be wrong. There's a reason why Rashi has to have it be alive. Okay? Because if it's dead, it's not going to work out so well. Because what do you do with a dead donkey?
Sell it to me.
Yes, but if it's Nisare Vacherim, Rashi would probably say that you can sell all the donkeys minus the value of one. Right? That's why Rashi says it, because clearly it's not about eating when it's dead, because donkey meat is usen whether or not it was a Petar Hamor or not. That's why I think Rashi says that. But okay, go ahead. All right, so if I offer anybody in this year a challenge, get me a piece of the Sari Mishtaleach, the question is, would that be considered Hana or not? Okay, but I know you're not... I know you're not going to do it. Okay, go ahead. And finally... The Mishnah gives a list of 11 things, of which harei lo asurin ve'otsrin b'chol shehu. Interesting enough, by the way, this sugya in the Bavli does it? Oh, it does. This is classic, again, classic, sort of classic Bavli, where they want to know, why do you need this last line? It's just a repetition of the first line. I think more typically, this is simply a literary device. Whatever it is, fine. So the question is the following. What question do you want to ask? What? Benjamin?
Well, I don't know if it's a question. I'm just curious to know why the Mishnah repeats itself again.
So that's what the Gemara and the Bavli has been dying from. But I would argue from a Pshat perspective, that's not necessarily a compelling question.
You mentioned last time the Hana.
All right, so you're noticing the omissions. The Bavli will talk about that. There's something more glaring that the Bavli doesn't even talk about, which is really striking. Moshe? No, so, okay, again, you were talking about things that are not counted. The Mishnah doesn't, there might be a reason for not mentioning those things. AJ? No. But again, forget, don't ask me more things that are not in the Mishnah. You couldn't, we could talk about what the criteria of the Mishnah is, but based upon what we've discussed today, there's a more fundamental problem. Yehuda? Who does it, well, who does it contradict? Because? You're right. Well, you're not right, but you're half right. A contradict special, because they say, does it contradict Rav and Shmuel?
No.
Yes. It contradicts both. In other words, Rav and Shmuel basically took a full loaf. Rav Yechon took a crumb, and the Mishnah gives you a half a loaf. In other words, everybody said, Basa Bechalov's not in the Mishnah. There are all sorts of...
No, actually not.
Chametz of Pesach is not in the Mishnah. Right? Neveh Chatichas Neveh is not in the Mishnah.
But you could do this, not saying everything, and there is the thread.
Pashtus is, when you put a parenthesis, you agree with Tosus. Rashi does not agree with you, and Tosos is incredibly, incredibly strained in terms of the reading. You'll see it in the Gemara as well. Pashtus is when the Mishnah says, Elu Asurin Va'osrin Mechol Shehein, and repeats the Klal at the end, it put very strong parenthesis, you know, brackets around it, suggests that this is the list, guys.
Ton of a Shear.
Ton of a Shear, thank you. Okay.
Just mention things in the
No, because the Zeh Klal was an Avodah Zarah. And the Zeh Klal was to highlight to you the difference between Min B'Mino and Min B'Sheino Mino. So that makes it even worse for Rav and Shmuel. That's correct. So we got problems here. We got real problems here, which we'll talk about tomorrow. Okay. So you get to think about it.
Fine.